All right, let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 14. And forgive me, this air, the allergy stuff is really complicating things with my voice. So I'm just saying that because I don't want it to be a distraction. So if I have to turn aside or cough or whatever, bear with me, please. Now, we're going to study verses 4 through 11 this morning of John chapter 14. Hopefully discovering things you've never seen before. And I've been praying hard for myself, praying hard for you, studying it throughout this week. I am so excited about this message. I believe this is the most important message I've ever preached. And I know I've said that many times before, and I've meant it. And I mean it this morning. This is such an important, it's the moment. This is the time right now. We're going to spend time in God's Word in a familiar passage, but a passage that we have to go way deeper into to really understand the spiritual truths that are in it. And so the context, which is important, remember, they're at the Last Supper, Jesus and his disciples. And last week we saw that I didn't bring my glasses into the pulpit. Where did I leave them? I think they're in that leather case that Ed gave me right there. Would you just take a peek there real quick? Tim, they're in a little multicolored case, but just in case. But they're at the Last Supper. Do you remember that they had a very disturbing dinner discussion? Jesus had done some strange things. He girded up his robe around his waist, washed their feet. That was the first and only time that we know of. Very uncomfortable, I'm sure, very strange to have Jesus doing that to them. And then he predicted that he was going to be betrayed by one of them. He said to them, I'm going to go someplace that you cannot come right now. So as we studied last week, the disciples were upset. They were anxious. They were fearful. They knew something big and bad was going to happen. And so that's the context. And that's why if you look at chapter 14, verse 1, Jesus, first of all, gives them his prohibition. He doesn't want us to be anxious. If we're anxious, we're troubled heart. Christians shouldn't be that way. Because when we get that way, but we have to work through that. We've got to go to God for that and let him take us to the other side of that. Because when we are troubled, it displeases God and it dishonors God, because what it says about God and about us is that we don't trust in him. And so he gives us this prohibition, let not your heart be troubled, verse 1. Then he gives us the prescription. Here's the solution. Faith. Believe in God. The Father, believe also in me. And then he gives his wonderful promise. In my Father's house are many dwelling places, and I go to prepare a place for you. If I weren't going, I wouldn't have told you I was. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, then I will come and I will receive you to myself, so that there you will be with me also. So that's the context. It's pretty clear, right? He told them where he's going. You would think that they would have understood that. Now, we're going to look at the first enlightening exchange then, as Jesus leads them into a deeper conversation. And it begins with what we'll call letter A, Jesus' unexpected assertion. So in this first enlightening exchange between him and his disciples, he makes an unexpected assertion. Look at verse 4. And you know the way where I'm going. Now, they knew where he was going. I'm not sure they would have known the way. But the older manuscripts, the better manuscripts, actually say, and it's in this, your version might say this, it's in the margin of my, but what it says is that this is what Jesus probably said. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know. And I believe that's the right translation because of the way Thomas answers him. Thomas answers him in a two-stage thing. Look at the next. Now, we'll call this, first of all, this is the first of two that we're going to look at today, and I've called them different things, but they're the same thing. Provocative assertions. He's provoking a deeper revelation of who he is and how that truth, as they experience it, is going to provide them with peace. Remember, that's the context. They're troubled. He wants to give them peace. He gives them what we studied last week. And then he continues just provoking the conversation in unexpected ways. And so Thomas, to this assertion that you know where I'm going and you know the way. Here's Thomas's, letter B, his unashamed admission. You know, we call Thomas what? Doubting Thomas. I don't think he was doubting at all. Thomas, and I got to identify with him more and more this week as I tried studying this passage. Thomas just, I think he just didn't want to believe stuff without some proof. You know, later he'll say after Jesus' resurrection, I'm not going to believe until I see the nail holes in his hands and feet. Then I'll believe. He's not a whole lot unlike us. You know, we'd like to know that what we're believing in, we don't want to be naive. We don't want to find out later we were wrong or we're foolish, right? That's what he's doing here. I don't know why he didn't remember that Jesus just said that he's going to go to heaven to be in the Father's house. But either way, he's like, wants an explanation. So just unashamedly, he admits, I don't know where you're going, and if I don't know where you're going, I sure don't know how you're going to get there. And so I think he's open but cautious, which is the way I like to be myself. I'm open, but be careful. And I'm so glad he was like that. Because if Thomas wouldn't have responded in this way, we wouldn't have these wonderful answers from Jesus that do the same work in us that he wanted done in them. And so then we come to his answer, his unexpected answer. Thomas, I think, expected him to say, okay, Thomas, I get it. You're a little nervous tonight. You're troubled, so you forgot that I already told you I'm going to heaven. So let me explain it to you. Okay, heaven, as you've seen me pray, is straight up, right? And so my Father, that's the way I pray. So from Jerusalem and that vicinity, heaven must be straight up above that, right? So he wanted an explanation like, but if you're in Cresco, Iowa, then what you got to do is you got to head out and start going east and then go east till you go over the ocean. And then when you get through, and then start veering south till you get to Jerusalem, then take a sharp turn upward. And that's the way. Listen, that is not at all the way Jesus dealt with his disciples, as I've given the title of this message. His masterful methods of answering the question, but in a way that makes us meditate and think and wrestle with and process spiritually and pray for wisdom, so that then he reveals the truth to us in just totally unexpected but marvelous ways. And so here's his unexpected answer. In essence, what he is saying is what he said frequently. I am. I am. Now, to me, this is similar to when he spoke with the woman at the well, recorded back in John chapter 4, do you remember? He was sitting at the well in Samaria. The disciples are hungry. Everybody's hungry. Jesus is hungry. They go to town for food. He visits with this woman at the well, has that wonderful exchange with her. She leaves. The disciples come back. And he said, I have food that you don't know anything about. We studied this about a month ago. And they said, nobody gave him food, did they? And Jesus said, my food is what? My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his purpose. So what we wrestled with there was, how can food be an activity? Or how can activity be food? This is a similar type of thing you got to wrestle with. How can a way be a person? And I know there's a simplistic answer, but we want to dig in and get beyond the simplicity to the complexity, which will be the same answer, but I hope we understand it better. And so before I flesh that out, this whole I am thing, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, let's go on to the next one, and then we'll spend time meditating and, you know, letting the teabag soak in the whole passage. So let's go to verse 7 and then look at the second. And I've called it this time, it's the same both ways. Self-disclosing discussion. What Jesus is doing here, and this is what you need to be doing and I need to be doing every time we read the Bible. What are we reading it for? To memorize verses so that we get a sticker? Awana kids? What are we in the Word for? One reason. For God to reveal Himself to us by the Spirit so that we can experience Him personally. And our relationship with Him can deepen and deepen and get more wonderful and loving both directions and all of that. That's why we're reading the Bible. And so He is disclosing Himself in all of these discussions with His marvelous methodology, His masterful teaching as the perfect teacher. So let's read verses 7 through 11. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know Him and you have seen Him. This is another unexpected assertion. You should know Him. Now Philip speaks up and says to Him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say, show us the Father? You don't understand this yet? Do you not believe? Now watch this closely, because I could have you jumping all around the Gospel of John. We could look at several places where this is taught. But they would just confirm what we're reading right here. But it's clear here. So let's just look carefully at this verse. Do you not believe, verse 10, that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does His works. So He and the Father in Him, the Father was working, Jesus is saying. One of His works was to be in Jesus so that when Jesus spoke, it was God's word coming out. Truly, truly, I say to you, He would say. So those are His words. Hold your left finger there and just jump over to verse 24 for a second. Verse 24. Jesus said, He who does not love me does not keep my words. Now watch this. And the word which you hear, Jesus' teachings, the words which you hear, the word is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So He is working through Jesus as Jesus spoke, as Jesus did the miracles, which He refers to in the next verse. Look at verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe on account of the works themselves. The words that you hear from me, you know, are not human. The miracles that I'm doing, you know, aren't done by a human. So believe. Now, let's look back briefly to 8:59. So keep your right finger here. Just go back to chapter 8, verse 59. I just want to show you one place that's very important for us to understand this whole I am thing that Jesus repeats. I am. Chapter 8, look at verse 58 and 59. The end of chapter 8, just before chapter 9. Now, Jesus is talking to some antagonistic Jews. And Jesus said to them, truly, truly, God working in him. This is God speaking through him. Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, what does he say? I am. Okay. A certain group with their own Bible, because they don't want to believe Jesus is God. Translate that verse, before Abraham was born, I existed. That's not what Jesus said. I brought them to the Greek. Let me show you what he said. Ego, I, eimi, I am. That's Jesus' answer. I am. And you've got that in your outline, right? So we have seven of these sayings in the Gospel of John. You've heard series done on them, I'm sure. But Jesus said in this Gospel, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. When David wrote Psalm 23, he was writing about me. Jesus is the good shepherd. I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine. So to sum all of that up, I think what we might say is that Jesus, and this is in your outline, Jesus and the Father are one. By the way, when Jesus said to them, you're still in 8:58, before Abraham was born, I am. They knew exactly what he was saying. He was saying that he and the Father are one. Therefore, they picked up stones to throw at him because they knew they thought he was blaspheming by claiming to be God. And so the reason I'm bringing all of this up is that when Jesus says, I am, he's doing much more than just giving a simple statement about his identity. You know, if I say to you, hey, I am Tim, you know, we're going to get to know each other. You got to tell me stuff about you. I got to tell you stuff about me. I'm Tim. I'm a pastor. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a grandpa. I live in Iowa. I'm going to watch the Hawkeye Girls later. You know, I can say all that kind of stuff and, okay, yeah, it says a little bit about me, but that's not what Jesus is doing. He's doing so much more than that. As I said a little bit earlier, the word hallelujah is praise Yah. How did God answer Moses in the burning bush? When Moses said, what's your name? Who should I tell them sent me? What was God's answer? I am. I am who I am. I am that I am. I just am. And when Jesus came and said that, claiming to be one with the Father, claiming to be God, when he did that, they wanted to kill him. But that's exactly what Jesus is saying. So, how do we know, or how can we know better that Jesus is the way? Why did Jesus say it that way? Why did he think it would be more effective for his disciples to say it like that? Well, here's, I hope, some helpful stuff. God came to the world in Jesus, right? He came to the world in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is God in the flesh. And so it would make sense to me if God came to us in Jesus that he would be the way for us to go to God. And that's exactly what the Bible teaches us. In John chapter 1, verse 51, remember a month or two ago when Jesus was calling his disciples, and he called Nathanael and Philip, and then he said, you think it's impressive that I knew you were sitting under the fig tree? You're going to see greater things than that. He said, you're going to see, listen, the fulfillment of Jacob's ladder, the wrestling match Jacob had with God in the Old Testament, that's Jesus. He said, you're going to see angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. I am the way. I am the door. Matthew, Mark, and Luke record that when Jesus died on the cross, what happened to the veil in the temple? All three of them record. It tore in two. What is that saying? It's saying, I am the way. I am access to God. I'm the way that every single human being who trusts in me can come directly to God himself, to his throne of grace, directly through me. And by the way, if your church teaches or if you believe that there's another person that you can pray to, there's another intermediary that you can pray to, that is not true. Jesus said, I am the way. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, period. Okay? Now, certainly this teaches the exclusivity of Jesus as the Savior, but friends, listen, Christians, we do not want to let it stop there. Oh, he's saying, I am the way and the truth and life. That means, you know, another religion isn't the way and the truth. That's absolutely true. But he's saying more than that. So let's keep digging. So Jesus is the way. But he is not, by him saying it this way, he's teaching us that he is not just showing us the way. He isn't just a prophet who tells us how to do it. He's not like the guy in the tourism center where you come in and say, I want to go to such and such a hiking trail. And he's, oh, okay, well, I'll pull out a map and I'll show you the way. He's not like a hunting outfitter who'll show you the way. He's not like a fishing guide who just shows you the way. He is the way. And as far as the truth is concerned, he doesn't just point us to the truth. He doesn't just speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. He doesn't just reiterate the truth in order to teach us. And that's what I'm doing. Hopefully by the power of the Holy Spirit, as the Father now works in me because the Spirit is in me, I hope that is what is happening. But that isn't what Jesus was doing, and that isn't what he was saying. He was saying, I am the truth. If you want to keep your hand here and just go back to chapter 1, I won't take you all over the place, but just look at chapter 1 for a second. I've already quoted a little bit of it to you. But this is what this gospel is all about. This is what the good news is. Look at chapter 1. Let's just kind of read through it sporadically. Verse 1 again. This is who Jesus is. If you're here today and you have not put your faith and your trust in Jesus, you need to recognize who he is. And I pray to God that he shows himself to you this morning. Do you see Jesus? In the beginning was the Word. That's Jesus. The Greek word is logos, from which we get logic. It's the reasoning, the mind of God. Jesus is the very spoken mind of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There's no other legitimate way to translate that verse. He was in the beginning with God. Watch this. All things came into being by him, by Jesus. And apart from Jesus, nothing came into being that has come into being. Now, in him was life. So I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. In him was life because he created everything. Where did the life that came into being come from? Jesus. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So that's the truth part. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it or overcome it. Then the next two verses talk about John the Baptist. So go to verse 8. He, John the Baptist, was not the light. He pointed to the light. He came that he might bear witness of the light, but he's not the light. There was the true light, Jesus, which, coming into the world, enlightens every man. Jesus was in the world. The world was made through him, but the world did not know him. He came to his own, the Israelites. And those who were his own did not receive him. Watch this. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, not the physical birth, born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. Then verse 14. And the Word, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth, because He is the radiance of the invisible God. In Him the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in Him, if you believe in Him and receive Him, in Him you have been made full. This is what the human heart is looking for and needs to be saved. Look at verse 18, last verse we'll look at here. No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten God, that's who? Jesus. Who is in the bosom of the Father, He has explained Him, He has manifested Him, He has revealed Him, He has shown Him to human beings. Jesus and the Father are one. Listen, please. Jesus is here. He's on the earth. He's in this building. He's in most of us. If I'm assuming most of you, if not all of you, have received Him, He lives within you. You have been born of God, born from above. Born again, however you want to say it, but it's born from above by God. So Jesus is here. And the Father is at work doing His work in me as I preach, in you as you listen. He's doing a spiritual work here through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit of God. In His Word, He is speaking. He is revealing. And He's calling. He's calling you. And you have to respond. You're going to respond to this one way or the other. And here's your choice. Either, listen to what I'm saying, and reject it, or ignore it, and try another way to be right with God. And you know what? I was there. If you stay there, you're going to stay lost. And you're going to be wandering. Or you can come to Jesus. Jesus said, come to me. All you who are weary, and I know you all you who are weary and heavy laden, come to me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and then you will find rest for your souls. Now, if you want to, for truth, if you want to embrace the world's belief system, where everything is upside down, right? Evil is called good, good is called evil, life is called death, and vice versa. If you want to believe that, you're free to believe it. Believe it. And stay in la-la land, because it's not true. It is not true, and you are lost. Jesus said, you will know the truth. I am the truth. And if you know me, you will know the truth. And the truth will do what? Set you free. Because you're in bondage to deceit and darkness. And as far as life is concerned, you can continue to be separated from God because of your sin if you want to. The Bible calls that spiritual death. Or you can receive Jesus. How do you do that? Just like we tell children, you just open up your heart and receive Him. I did it. I know what had happened. You just open up your heart. You can do that by prayer right now. You can do it when we bow our heads in a moment. You just say, Jesus, I hear you knocking at the door. I open the door. Jesus said, if anybody hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and live with him and dine with him and he with me. So if you receive Jesus, that's what happens when you are born from above and the Holy Spirit will come to live in you. And so this type of teaching of Jesus, I think, is similar to Matthew 6:33, where Jesus said, you know, he was just talking about anxiety. Don't be anxious. Don't worry about what you're going to eat and drink. Don't worry about that. The Gentiles worry about that. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and then everything will be provided for you. So this is just the masterful way Jesus says, I am. So if you receive Jesus, if you get Jesus, if you get in Jesus and He gets in you, then you're on the way. And you know the truth and you have the life. The whole package of salvation is Jesus. Now let me say one other thing. This, if you dig into this and you really go for it and you pray for wisdom, it's more than just knowing things about Jesus. I was in a context recently, a situation, a sad situation, and there was a Christian man I know, and he's been a Christian for a long time, and I know he's a Christian, and I know he's born from above and all of that, and he serves the Lord, but some of the stuff he said, first of all, and here's just what, I don't want to do this, and I don't want to judge him wrongly, but I hear enough Christians say stuff that it's trite and it's cliche and it's what our culture has developed over many, many decades. Some of it's true, but really shallow. And some of it isn't even true. It's just sayings that we've come up with. And I think of the verses they're referring to, that isn't even what the verse says. I'm not just condemning somebody else. I'm just saying it's a little frustrating. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that. And I think to myself, do you read the Bible like for yourself? Or do you just go to a church that has the Bible and says they believe the Bible and then you come up with just this superficial understanding of what the faith is even about. And you think John chapter 14 verses 1 through 6 is just about teaching that Jesus is the only way. Yeah, it is that. But it's so much more than that. And so I want to be walking so closely with Jesus. This is a call for us not just to have a correct understanding of Jesus' identity. It's not just, even not just to have a personal relationship. That's where it begins. But it's got to keep growing and growing into an intimate knowledge and a personal, experiential relationship with Jesus where you're walking with Him all the time. If you abide in My Word and Your Word and My Word abides in you, then ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. That's what Jesus wants for us. That's what I want for myself. That's what I want for you. That's what I want for our church. And here's the difference. Productivity. Producing fruit. Not just saying the right answers. Producing fruit that will be visible, incarnational evidence of the reality of God. When my friend led me to Christ, it wasn't because he gave me the right answers. That isn't what I wanted. I wanted to know that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And I saw it in him. He didn't just tell me, you can have peace because here's the directions. He had peace. It was a fruit of the Spirit. I knew it was real. I knew he had Jesus, and I wanted that. And that is what the Holy Spirit used to lead me to that moment where I just said, come in. I don't even care if I'm wrong anymore, Jesus. I want you. Do you see what I'm saying? And then to cultivate such an experiential relationship that I could say, the words that I speak aren't mine. It's the Father working in me. So when I'm listening to you, when we're talking and trying to grow in our love for one another and you have a hurt or a pain and I'm listening, I have to listen so that the Holy Spirit, that God the Father can work in me and then He work through me so that then the next words that come out of my mouth are grace to you. Do you see the difference between that and just knowing the right answers? And then saying something that isn't even helpful when people are hurting? Does that make sense? Does that make sense? This comes from a deep, continuous, conscious communion with Christ. Opening the door over and over again. Come back into the dining room, Jesus. I need you. Use me here. Help me. And if we do that, Jesus will impart peace to us, and he will increase productivity in our lives. So will you bow your heads with me, please? Oh, let me say one other thing. Quick testimony. Quick testimony is an experience I had. This will help. Young man I played basketball with for a long time. Never mentioned the word Jesus to him. I think he came to church a time or two because he knew I was a pastor, but that's as far as it got. So the other day he comes in to play basketball, and I see a tattoo on his arm. Did I already share this with you? I saw a tattoo on his arm, and it was a cross. And so now I've got an opportunity, and I say to him, hey, I like your tattoo. I said, is that a real tattoo? He said, oh, yeah. I said, are you a Christian? It just opened up, just boom. And I don't push that on. But I just said, are you a Christian? And thankfully, he was honest enough to say no. He has a cross on his arm, goes to a Christian youth group, and has the honesty to say to me, I'm not a Christian. I mean, I kind of believe in God, but I said, you got to get that straight, man. I said, I just did a funeral for a young person. Nobody expected to die. I said, you don't know if you're going to live tonight. So that just opened up a conversation with him all of a sudden. But I want you this morning to be as honest as he was. So I'm going to ask you a question. You should have an answer for this question. Are you a Christian? I know most of you. I know most of you are. Maybe all of you are. But just in case there's somebody in here who isn't, I'm going to ask you this question. Are you a Christian? Have you opened up your heart? Have you received Jesus? Is he in you? Jesus and the Father are one. Jesus said, I in them, them in me. Is he in you? Are you in him? There's one way to do that. And that is Jesus. He is the way and the truth and the life. All you have to do when you bow your head in a moment, if you've never done it before, if the Holy Spirit is moving in your heart, this is the time to do it. I'm asking you to do it. Jesus is calling. Jesus is knocking. So you can bow your heads right now. If you already are, then what did the Holy Spirit say to you? Come to Jesus now. Just whatever the Holy Spirit does in you, go to Jesus. Open up your heart again. Believe in him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so let's just bow together and pray for a few minutes. Let the tea bag soak. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you.